Do you need this? Would you like it?
Got my little flowery book with my sermons in. Everybody knows me, knows me. I'm a bit flowery.
So make sure it's right up by
your chair. Oh, dear. Okay, right. Right, is it going to be like being at work and wait till everybody shuts up before we start and say something sarcastic to make sure you shut up? But no, I won't do that. I'm in church today. Okay. Right. When Andy rang me and asked me if I would do this talk, I readily said yes, I would. Of course I would, he said, and he was looking at the fact that God cares for us. Okay, that was the kind of the brief, really. And also to bring in the fact that I am a nurse and a mother, okay? But when Gail this morning talked about her mother's role, being a nursing sister, I thought, that is just like I am at home, okay? If you are poorly and there's no blood, that is at what are you talking about? I work with people that break their legs, that have heart attacks, that have major surgery. There's nothing wrong with you. You can just, you know, just take two paracetamol and you'll be fine. And I would love my kids basically to tell you a couple of stories about that, I dare say. And it is very interesting when you are a nurse, because you do see life in the raw and you see it really, really, you see the lovely ends of the scale. Because I've been nursing for 45 years. I know I don't look old enough. Okay? No, I don't. It's actually 46 years this year I will have been started nursing. I started nursing in 1972 as a very young 17-year-old. And you know what? I'm still working. And I'm still... I do believe, in a sense, that it's actually my main ministry, my job. I've got 3 and a bit years to go before I actually retire properly to get my old age pension. And I really don't know what I'm going to do after that. So it's going to be an interesting experience when I actually leave my main ministry, which is my job. But I am just so thankful to God that I've been able to carry on working. And with even being ill and what have you, that I'm still physically able to do the job that I love. Okay. Now, I've got a couple of scriptures here, because what I'm going to do eventually is look at God as a mother. Do you know, it's when you look through the Bible and you look at it, God is portrayed quite often as a masculine figure. Okay. And but I don't know why that is, because he calls him calls himself God the Father, doesn't it? And then you've got God the Son. And there's a lot of the feminine attributes that we don't always see in the Word. But there are a few, actually, that you can find. It's quite nice. Because God is not gender specific, is he? He's not actually man, and he's not actually woman. And I did try to find that scripture yesterday when I thought about it. And I couldn't find it. I looked in my concordance. I don't do online very well, I suppose. And I couldn't find it. And I thought, well, never mind. It is there. And I'm sure there's a scripture that says it's neither God, man, nor female somewhere. And I couldn't remember where it was, so I couldn't find it. So, anyway, Psalm 17, verse 8 says, "Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings," which is looking at the Father, God, as a mother hen. Okay. The other one is Isaiah 66, verse 13. I've written it out because my Bible's got very small writing and I can't see very well. So I have to do it that way. "As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you." And that is, there's a lot more which I will come to in a minute. Okay. I am a mother, I am a nurse, I'm also a qualified midwife. So I've done everything, and I loved midwifery when I was doing it. I used to love the encouraging side of delivering babies, telling the women what a good job they were doing, even if they were screaming the place down. And I look at it this way: if you want to scream, ladies, get on with it. Because I don't think there's actually any problem with that. It's the ladies themselves that have a problem with that. And also there's a scripture that says that... God calls for his people to come to him like a lady screaming in labor. I think that's in Isaiah as well somewhere, actually. So it's true that that's what God is, the feminine aspects of God coming out. Okay. So what does a nurse do then? And what does a mother do? There's quite a lot of things that a nurse does that is very much like being a mother, i.e. caring. We talked about a lot of these on the on that little mind map we just did this morning. Caring, compassionate, encouraging, protecting. I have to protect my patients to make sure they don't come to any harm when they're with me, okay? Nurturing. We do nurture patients. Comforting. Being empathetic. I know a few nurses that are not empathetic, but I like to think that I am, and I think Lynn is as well, used to be a nurse, and one or two of the others. We encourage independence. They don't like it. You know, patients don't like it when they're elderly and they've got something wrong with their hips and, oh, please don't make me get out of bed. Please don't make me walk down there. I don't want to do it. But we have to encourage independence, and we do that with our children, don't we? We encourage them to do things that they don't want to do. We also problem solve. I mean, this last week I've problem solved three times for my children. My children are adults now. My eldest is 36 this year. She is disabled and she's actually almost bedbound, really. So she had a problem with hospital appointments. I was able to sort that out for her, and which is good because there's not a lot I can do for her because she's disabled. My middle daughter, now I can tell you all here because you don't know my family, but it's not common knowledge in the family yet, but she's having another baby. So we're really pleased I'm going to be another grandma. She's pregnant for the second time. And she rings me up and she offloads about the fact that she had trouble with the midwife last time she went. Bless her. And we were able to encourage her about that. And my son, he's just spent 2 weeks in America with his work, and I was worried about him being over there, flying all the way. Is he going to get a blood clot? Is he going to come back with a clot on his lung because I'm a nurse, and it's going to have all these issues with the aeroplane and all this stuff. And what I was able to do for Stephen was I was actually able to pray for him. And as a mother, it's lovely to pray for your kids. And that is that's the biggest thing I do. When I was diagnosed with my third lot of cancer, I am thankful to God for saving my life, okay? So I'm here to carry on moaning and groaning at everybody. I'm here, and that's great. I'm alive, and God saved my life. I remember I didn't do a lot of crying in public, although I have cried on Claire a few times. Haven't I, Claire? And she's great for that. But I remember looking. I've got three pictures of my kids on my hall wall. I've got, and the partners, three photographs of them hanging up of the three children hanging up. And I cried and cried and cried to God. Lord, if I die, it was a brilliant excuse for God to save my life. Do you know? Lord, you know, you've got to save my life because there ain't nobody else to pray for my kids. I've got to do it because my husband doesn't go to church. He is a Christian. He was a Christian, and we're waiting for him to come back to God. He doesn't do that. So I'm not sure whether he does a lot of praying. My extended family do. My brother does, is a Christian, but I don't know of any other members of my family that would actually pray for my children. And I feel that's a big part of my role, praying for my kids. So I stood there crying at these photographs and I'm saying, Lord, you've got to save my life because I've got to pray for my children. And do you know what? He did save my life. And the issues I've had with the kids that needed prayer afterwards has been quite remarkable, really. God always takes us at our word and he answers prayers that sometimes are a bit strange, the prayers, you know? Okay. So, the thing is, you also got a third instinct as a nurse, right? If you're a good nurse, you get a third instinct. It's called intuition. There's been a lot of research talked about intuition in nursing. A lot of people are trying to say it doesn't exist. But that's the type of people, I think, that has done the research on that haven't got any. That is the way I look at it. Okay. So true. They haven't got any, but definitely a big part of nursing is having this third instinct. And as a mother, you have that for your children. I know every single mother here will have that instinct for their kids, okay? The third, what is it? You know, there's something wrong. And it takes a lot of digging sometimes to find out what's going on, okay, with them. But the thing is, all these attributes, and a whole lot more, because you have to do research and all sorts of things in nursing these days, and reflection, and looking back what you've done, and could I have done it better, or did I do it well, and all this. They've put all these attributes into a what they call the code of conduct. And I have to adhere to this code of conduct, otherwise I can get struck off and not be a nurse anymore. At least a qualified nurse. So, and I said to my son, I was going to do this talk today, and I said, I've got to talk about nursing and talking about being a mother. I said, I wonder what the difference is. And he said straight away, the difference is love. You know, we've got this inbuilt bond of love with our kids, haven't we? Just there. It's something that comes almost, sometimes it comes straight away, sometimes it's a couple of days, but you get this bond with your child. And all you mothers understand what that means. So, when I go to work, I've got a professional relationship with my patients. So, occasionally I've had a patient where I have actually become emotionally involved with. And I actually remember them. I've been nursing 45 years and I can remember every one of them that I've had an emotional bond with. And I don't suppose it's been healthy in as much as I've got really upset about things and, you know, frustrated when I can't sort things out for them, being a problem solver. So the difference is love. And it says in 1 John 4, God loves us and is love. Okay. Now, I don't know whether any of you have actually thought about God as a mother figure before. I must say, before I did this, I hadn't. I even thought about it, really. And I've really enjoyed looking at God being a mother figure or being portrayed as a mother. And I would love to do an in-depth Bible study a bit longer and look at all these scriptures and look at it, because I think it's really interesting. So, Isaiah 66, verse 13, I'm not going to read them all to you, but God is described as a mother bird in that scripture. And then we've got two also, well, there's two in the New Testament. One's in Matthew and one's in Luke. And they both say the same thing, so I'm only going to read Matthew. Okay. Matthew 23:37. I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under a wing. Okay. And that is, do you know, it's so lovely. I don't know if any of you know much about chickens, and I don't really, except to know that foxes like them, and most people that have got chickens end up with no chickens at all because the fox get in. You know, I think there's a couple of people in church here that's had that issue. But I do remember my mum and dad having chickens on an allotment years ago, and we used to go, and there used to be all these different names from, like, bantams and these white-feathered things, and they had all fancy names, you know. And I know people show them, don't they? That'd be quite interesting, go to a show of chickens. That'd be quite an interesting day out, wouldn't it? Yeah. KFC! Yeah, they're brilliant. No, thank you. No, they have no chickens. Have they actually solved that problem yet? Of having chickens in KFC? Bless it. Anyway, they fluff up and they actually put the babies underneath the wings and they nurture them and they look after them and they care for them. And woe beside anybody that tries to get in there. They make a lot of noise, don't they, when people get in? And I must say, I'm noisy, so I make a lot of noise when people start, you know, getting to my children. I remember when my kids were little and you go to school and they'd have an argument with somebody. And I'd end up arguing with a parent, and the kids are fine, do you know? I don't know whether any of you have experienced that at the school gates, you know. We have an argument, it carries on for ages, and the kids are our best friends again, do you know. I soon stopped doing that after the first couple of times, I must say, okay. And then, that is so good, but that is actually repeated again in Luke as well. But this one is nice, Psalm 91, verse 4. He will cover you with his feathers. Okay. And under his wings, you will find refuge. So we've got refuge as a mother hen. God is like a mother hen to us, whether we're male, female, whether we're young, whether we're old, whether whatever, we are under the refuge of God in his wings. And we forget that sometimes, don't we, that he's like a mother hen to us and he loves us a lot. And he sent his son to die for us on Calvary for that. And it's just fantastic to have this relationship with God that's really helped me with my children, because I've been able to pray for them throughout their lives. And even though they've made decisions that I'm not 100% happy with, the fact that they decided they didn't want to follow Jesus anymore, I still pray for them, and I know that one day they will be in his kingdom. I've had a vision of my granddaughter. Oh, brilliant vision. Oh, so lovely. A vision of my granddaughter dressed in purple. I was dressed in purple. Jesus was dressed in purple. Sophie was dressed in purple. That's my granddaughter. She's 3 this year. And we were dancing in heaven. So I know she's going to heaven because I've seen that vision. And isn't that fantastic that I can actually now pray that I've seen that vision and say, Lord, I saw that vision, you know, save my granddaughter's soul. So that's brilliant in the future. So really pleased about that. Now, I thought it would be nice now. I've got 9 puppets here, just very briefly, okay, so that we can show you, or the children can experience, the chicken with the baby under its wing, okay. So Rihanna and Ella, would you give me a hand there? I've got 2 people from the puppet team here today, so they're going to give me a hand. They didn't know beforehand, mind, so they're going to do it today. I've got 9 puppets. Okay, if you want to get them out. Girls, there's 9 bird puppets. We're all, I've got most of the ones out. I had to hunt to the bottom of the box because we've got our next show coming up in July. So make sure you come along to see it. But we're not using the bird puppets in that. So I had to hunt to the bottom of the box to get those. Right. Do you want to give me one of the macaws, sweetheart? Oh, yeah. So, got a whole load of macaws here. Unfortunately, our puppets can't get rod arms on these ones, so I can't do it as you would with a rod arm, but you're going to have to let me use my hand, okay. So, this, I suppose it could be, I think it's a macaw, because it's got a nice beak, hasn't it, you know. The kids love using this one, so, like that. So, have we got some children want to come forward and have a go with the puppet, just quickly before we go on to the next bit, because I think I'm taking too much time. You come. Girls, do you want to come here with it? Bring the puppets over. Come and get a puppet. Okay. So God, just remember this every time you think of a macaw or a puppet, okay? You must remember this scripture in Psalm 91. He will cover you with his wings and hide his wing, and under his wings you will find refuge, okay? We've got these puppets. Let the story about these birds. I once did years ago. I don't know if you remember. If anybody remember the show that I did for 12 Days of Christmas. Can I remember it? Yeah? I had to get all these bird puppets. We couldn't get the proper ones like partridges in a pear tree or things like that. But we've got birds, so that's what we used. My favourite puppet is there. My favourite puppet, it's got a long neck. Does somebody with a long arm want to use that one? Jack, it's Jack, isn't it? Do you want to come with me, look? So we've got a little puppet here, look, okay? And you see this here, that's its wing. Where's it gone? Be all right if I could find it. And that's a little bird that goes under there like that, and that is God looking after his chicken. And you look, and you've got a turkey, look. You've got a turkey. Come to the front, let everybody see your turkey, yeah? So what happens then? What does Jesus do and God do? Turn it round so the people can see it. That's it. Turn it round. That way, look that way. That's it. That's brilliant, isn't it? Then you've got your bird and it comes the God looks after you with his wings like this bird looking after the turkey, okay? Yes, he says, yeah, I understand that. This one's a proper chicken. This one's a proper chicken, look. Yeah, what do you think? So what do you think then? Shall I come under your wing for that one? You hold your hand up. Little chicken, isn't it lovely? With its wings, look. And it's looking after the macaw under the shadow of God's wings. Okay. Thank you, girls. Do you want to come and do one and then we're finished? Okay. Anybody too shy to come up and actually do it with me now can come up afterwards and we'll have a go, all right? Come on then, Ella. Right, okay. So, when you see this, just remember, put your hand right. Oh, sweetheart, that's it. Just remember, we are hiding under the shadow of God's wings, and he's protecting us every day. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Olwyn. So this week, I don't know if you follow the news closely, but Thursday was a very special day. In that it was Women's International Day. I don't know if you saw that. And I think it's a really good idea for us to honour the women in our lives, they can be mums, they can be aunties, they can be sisters, they could be grandmothers, they could be spiritual mums, all sorts of roles that we need to encourage. And unfortunately, sometimes the church isn't the best at encouraging women. And I want us to make sure that in this church particularly, we can be a place where women can be encouraged as much as men. We need to encourage everybody, don't we? So if you are a woman, we've got a little present for you. It's not a lot, but it's just something little to take away. So again, I need a few helpers because we've just got some daffodils on Mother's Day to give out. So can somebody come and help me? For all the women in the church who are here this morning, there's probably one, maybe two each. Just give them one to begin with. Thanks, Daniel. Just find a woman and give them a daffodil. Anybody at the back want to come and help me? There you go. Take that to the back for me. Thank you. So, everybody got one? If there's a few spare, then take two. That would be fine. How are we doing? We've got a few spare. Maybe give people two. Let's be generous. Come on. There is a shortage of daffodils, so I've been told, because the weather's been so bad. So give a few more out here where they've only got one. So, thank you. Look, we've got loads left. Come on, you must want more than one. Have a second one. Come on. Have a second one. I don't want to take any home. Or maybe one. I'll take one home for Sue. So, at least one home. That'd be.
Oh, there'll be trouble.
There will be trouble. Look, how many have we got left? We've got loads. How are we doing? Thank you. Yeah, just on the back. Come on, you can have a second, Claire. Come on, you've got two. Have three. Go on, be generous. Yeah, come on. So, can I ask the women in the church to stand up? Is that all right? So, we're just going to pray. So, I'd like the guys to just to stand up around next. Maybe you might be a husband, you might be a friend. You might even be a brother. I don't know. There's all sorts of relationships in the building. Let's just stand together. Let's just pray for the women of our church, and particularly those who, you know, those. I think it was great what Alwyn did this morning. Just those attributes of God that are the feminine attributes, those attributes that we really see expressed through the heart of a mother, particularly. But let's just pray for a few minutes, just quietly, for the women that stand next to us, asking God's blessing on them, that they would be really blessed by God on this day. And so, Father, we recognize that you created us male and female. And, Lord, we want to thank you for all the women in our lives and in this church, for the different roles and areas of responsibility that they have in the home, in the church, in the workplace, in the communities that we live. We thank you this morning that through their lives, we pray that they would be an example of the heart of God to the people that they meet. We just pray this morning for a blessing to come upon every single one who stood this morning. And we want to celebrate the women in our church and pray your blessing upon them. That, Lord, you would equip them and empower them to be women of God. And that they would serve you in the workplace, in the home, in the church. And that you would use them to lead people into your love through their hearts of love and care and kindness, hospitality, of leadership. Lord, we give you thanks for every single one. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let's stay standing. We're going to sing. I'll do that after this. And as we sing this song, we're going to take our offering as well. So just an opportunity as the baskets go around, if you want to give and sow into the vision of the church, then you have a chance to do that. So thanks, Andy.